Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, West Coast correspondent Al Jackson. He's on the way right after this.
This is my last will and testament, sung with my last living breath. 'Cause I'm going down to the loser's saloon to try drinking myself to death. That woman, she spent all my money, and they turned off my gas last July. I can't afford no rope or no poison. I'm just too damn broke to die. So don't bury me out on the prairie. Don't deep six me under the sea. The waves just bury me underneath Walmart. So my wife will come visit my grave. Tell Jim he can have my old Harley. Tell Jack he can have all my dope. Tell the boys there's beer in the icebox. Tell my boss to go piss up a rope. She probably won't get me a casket. She probably won't give it a thought. Just stuff my old bones in the carton. Oh, the color TV she just bought. So don't bury me out on the prairie. Don't deep six me under the waves. Just bury me underneath Walmart. So my wife will come visit my grave. Stick my ass and all under the mall. So the bitch will come visit my grave.
Now, some more Bob and Tom.
You want it. You need it. You can't live without it.
This is Bob and Tom Extra.
There's Jeff Oskey.
Howdy.
In for Josh Arnold. Joshy a little under the weather. There's Ace Cosby.
Howdy.
Manning the track phone hotline, hot phone. There's Willie Griswold.
Good morning.
I'm Chick McGee, and here's Tom.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.
We're talking about this cannabis company. Was it New York City?
Mm-hmm.
And they had their trucks impounded, but they owed $500,000.
Yeah.
In parking tickets. That seems a little high to me.
It's New York City. A lot of trucks.
I guess. But again, it reminded me of this classic Deadhead interview with this Deadhead fan. A Grateful Dead fan, I should say. I'll play this. We're going to be joined by Al Jackson in just a second. I want Al to hear this anyway. This is recorded outside a Grateful Dead concert a few years back, and here it is.
Well, you talk about losing things. I actually lost a car on tour one time.
How did this happen?
Well, I guess I was having so much fun at one show that I forgot I had my own car, and about three shows down the road, these friends of mine asked me, "Hey, Raj, where's your car? Because I got my jacket in your car," and I said, "Oh, I did have a car, didn't I?" So it was probably sitting wherever it was that I abandoned it, but I was having a lot of fun, and car's a small sacrifice if I get into shows.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well,
different world.
Yeah.
I don't know. Al Jackson, what do you think about that guy?
I think you hit it on the head, Tom, when you said different world. You know, I learned a lot when I was working for Carnival as a comic, because, you know, when I used to do it, you know, we would fly to like an island like the Bahamas or Jamaica and then get on the boat where all the passengers were. And then I'd do my show that night. And when you would go to Jamaica, you go into the port, you would take a local cab driver like through Jamaica to get to wherever the port was. And like Uber drivers and cab drivers here are very like direct, and I'll get you there and what time. And there's you know, you can use the app. There, like, you would have a cab driver and you would be an hour away from being late for your flight, and the cab driver would just pull over and just drink a beer, lean it against the car, talk to his friends. And I realized that it's just like a different, like, they don't look at time the way Americans
yeah,
do.
Exactly.
You know? And that's why we go down there. But it's just like when you said it, that guy is like, his car to him is just this weird thing in his life that's kind of keeping him back from going to more shows.
Yeah.
and getting a job and being able to buy tickets, apparently.
Oh, right. You don't know that.
No, he said if he can get into shows, he's looking for that miracle ticket. I've gone to my share of dead shows. I know what's going on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You have no idea what's going on.
Chick, how many trips did he ruin? I mean, let's just throw it out there.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
No, I mean it's a different whole. This guy, it's great. But I'm semi irresponsible on occasion. But
have you ever in your life been that carefree?
And lost a car? No,
not even lost a car. Just didn't care.
I've been relatively carefree, but I mean, if I'm driving a taxi and Al has to get to the airport, I'm not going to stop and say hi to my buddies. But Al, I know that you're right because that exact thing happened to me in the Bahamas a few years back. We're in the cab, and the guy goes, I got to go check on my son. And we went into the local village, and he got out of the car. He went inside. 20 minutes later, he comes out. God knows what he was doing.
Probably
checking on his son.
Yeah, checking on his son.
Why was he picking up fares if he was had to go?
Because they don't look at things. And Tom, honestly, I'm going to defend Tom to the entire world right now because I know we're all going – like, well, you know, could you imagine Tom at a Dead concert? And I couldn't, you know, he's dead sober there. I'm sure he looked like a cop giving off cop vibes, whatever. I'm going to say this in defense of you, though, Tom. Just like in the Tom Cruise movie, somebody's got to stand on that wall. You know, Tom is a responsible dude, mm-hmm. and not everybody can be. Oh, I got so high, I lost my car for 2 weeks. Somebody's got to show up at Bob and Tom every day at 5 a.m. and do their job, pay those bills, get everybody else paid. The squares get a lot of man. I'll tell you this: I hired an assistant, and like she looks like a square on the outside. Mm-hmm. She is the most highly skilled person. She can rebuild an engine. She rebuilt Al Jackson Live, my website. Like squares get a lot of like whatever in our culture, but I appreciate the squares like Tom. First of all, I'm glad you're at the Grateful Dead concert, making people feel like there's a police presence there.
When did cops get nerdy?
The squares. So I am done. But thank you, Tom, for being a square. It's fine.
Gosh, yeah. I haven't heard the term square since I was in high school.
The love of God. What a kiss ass. I couldn't hear anything over Al kissing your ass.
Dad, remember what you said about your surgeon?
I said last week when you were out that you are my favorite person and you are the most honestly, brutally honest, funny person that I've ever met because it's not an act.
That's
and you come
right.
back this week and you're brutal to me and that's why I love you.
Oh, no. It's only because we haven't been out and drinking vodka for a while, but apparently those days are over. Where do you go out?
Never know.
That's a big no.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You know, I'm telling you with the whole, like, if I ever went back to drinking, I feel like that's, first of all, that's where we are now in our society. I'm glad that I stopped drinking like a gangster, Tom. I stopped drinking vodka and Hennessy and real man drinks.
Yeah.
All right. I quit before this hard seltzer era, which is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen young kids. I'm sorry. Did you ever see James Bond drinking a hard seltzer?
Uh-oh.
I don't think so.
You know what, Al? I don't mean to be rude.
Don't tell me you're hard. All
you
right.
Can't
I'll
make,
decide that.
You can't make fun of White Claw.
I'm gonna push that on me. You're not hard. You're a drink that kids drink. And I know I'm probably going to relapse off like some sparkling water that I thought was just water, but it was some kind of hard dragon lily.
Dragon lily.
Will you man up and just drink?
Hell, how can you get mad about White Claw when in the hip-hop community, one of the signature drinks was a blue sweet drink called Hypnotic, right?
Yeah, it was. And you know what's interesting about how, because I saw like the evolution of black cocktails, because there was this thing, like when I was growing up in the house, you know, this is 1986, mm-hmm. you know, 87, you go to any black function, my uncles are all there. There's old school liquor like Cutty Sark.
Sure.
J&B. You know, those beef eater, that weird vodka with that mean Russian man on the front.
Yeah.
Like there was no joy with the labels. I kind of liked that. And then young black folks took over and they kind of took the Hennessy and Hypnotic and started making weird drinks. But they were all really sweet. And now it's like, it's either just you drink it neat or it's like this sparkling concoction. Like, I don't want to be happy when I'm drinking. Is that weird?
Yeah, no.
I want to do some damage, bro.
What?
Now, Al, there'd probably be a very interesting essay that you could write about the history of alcohol and hip-hop. Because there are certainly, I know just enough to know that there are certain drinks that are often referenced. And it's a very big deal. And I think sometimes I can't tell if the drink came before the fad, if it became a big thing because of the hip hop song.
Right. Well, Tom, first of all, we've known each other for almost a decade now. Do you think that I'm already not have geared up to do a podcast about alcohol and hip hop? And do you think I haven't hired the researcher from Rachel Ray to help me do that? I've already recorded several episodes. Wow. Yes, it did start around 2002 with Busta Rhymes' Pass the Cavassier, which we talked about on the show, and how it was like one of the first times that people openly started marketing during hip hop songs, because you naturally remember the songs anyway. So if you remember the product, it's just going to elevate with it. And it worked. Look at Puffy Ciroc. Ciroc was the number 50 vodka in the world. And now it's number two.
Wow.
And Puffy took it over. And because Ciroc used to be like the vodka that like winos drink, you know, that vodka that's right at the front of the liquor store, the scary one that's in the little fishbowl thing. That was Ciroc.
You know what? That is scary. That was scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's on the bottom row in the liquor store, yeah, you know, yeah. You have to really
get... The whole notion of product placement in hip-hop, is there an ulterior motive? Do these guys have a piece of the action? Or is it just someone references something because they do it?
Well, they did. They couldn't figure out a way to market to the hood. And I think I told you, like, they were, like, with malt liquor, which is really the beginning of people realizing that you could sell booze in the hood. They got Billy D. Williams to kind of push Colt 45 and old English 800 and all that kind of stuff. But as more money came into, you know, just the black community, people didn't want to drink that. So that's when people started to try and level up. That's when you start seeing Hennessy showing up. You start to see Cavassier and these kind of weird Remy Martin. All these kind of, and then there were starting to be rappers. There's a rapper named Remy Martin. There's a rapper named Hennessy. So like there was this weird thing where alcohol and hip hop like came up, because when you look at hip hop, everybody's partying. So like your natural thing is like, what are they drinking? And then people, when they're partying, would order it.
That's why it became such a big business. Is Funky Cold Medina a drink?
It isn't, but it was just ahead of its time. It was, Tone Loc was just ahead of his time with Wild Thing, you know, ahead of his time. And first of all, shout out to Tone Loc. He had an interesting career. He was great in Ace Ventura. Shout out to that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was a little ahead of his time. But, Tom, I think, you know, Chickie was successful with his vodka. We should have a Tom mocktail. Let's put that together and sell it.
Oh, the mocktail. There you go.
So Funky Cold Medina isn't a drink you can make.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody under the age of 90 would know what that is, except me and you. But we can make our own Funky Cold Medina.
He came in here singing Tone Loc this morning.
Wild Thing.
Yeah.
I love Tone Loc.
You know, in the end, it's a song. It's a story.
Yeah, it is.
And he finally meets someone at the end who's a whore, evidently. And she, as she tells him, gets paid to do the wild thing. And Tone's response is, what?
Yeah.
So who's drinking the Funky Cold Medina?
I don't know what funky cold Medina is.
Well, Al, that's your assignment. Now, in the meantime, we have to get our word of the week here, Al. You got to get me hipper. That's the goal of our show. What have we got,
Tom,
over there?
This word came to me organically.
Oh.
But yeah, it was very, because this is a word that I did not know either. Maybe, you know what? Maybe the beautiful boy, Willie G, maybe you've heard this.
What you got?
Because it's a little bit younger. This weekend, obviously, my son graduated eighth grade going into high school. So I was like, you know, these kids have been locked up for COVID for 2 years, haven't been able to party with each other. So this weekend in L.A., I got my kids one of those stretch limos, nice. You know, just to like take them from graduation to go see the Jurassic Park movie.
Awesome.
And I'm with them in the limo just to get the limo driver to their house. And then I was like, not going to ruin their time. But I was listening to one of my son's friends and he kept using the phrase gamer.
Yeah.
They use the word. Have you heard that, Christy? They use the word gamer for everything cool. So they'll be like, oh, Tom, you got a new car. That's really gamer. Oh, chick is back this week. That's gamer. Like they use it. They put it in everywhere. So, Tom, give me three sentences in which you use gamer correctly.
Okay. My son Willie is a gamer.
That was just a direct
I'm about to expand on it.
No, like, how would you use it?
Tom?
That was the first phase of the use of the word gamer. I was going to show you the evolution. Yeah, Willie is certainly, he likes to play video games.
I'm asleep.
He is quite the gamer. I understand that he purchased some reefer that was really gamer.
Nice.
And then he went out in the town with some of his friends.
Yep.
He had a designated driver, of course. He's a responsible young man like his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he met a young lady who I understand was a gamer funky cold Medina style.
Wow. You hear that?
But she
Al?
Was not. He did, what? She did not require payment.
Oh, okay.
How did I do, Al?
We'll take it. You know, it's Thursday and it was a new word and we're learning how to incorporate it. We're going to have this one. We're going to circle back. Circle back on this in a couple weeks, but I'm happy.
My kids using the word slay a lot. Is that
like slay queen?
Yeah. Period. Slay.
You like Santa Claus slay or Santa, like,
yes, no. Santa Claus slay. Yeah.
Like S-L-A-Y. Slay.
Oh, okay.
That's a hip hop thing. It's a fashion thing. And honestly, I think it kind of comes from the fellas over at RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, is that where it comes from?
They're slaying
it
a lot.
That makes sense. Absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Our makeup stylist, Jere, is a former drag queen and his Instagram name is Dre for the Slay.
Okay. Yeah.
Like it's a big, like, it's a term for, like, it started, I think, in the drag community where it's just like, you know, oh, you look incredible. Like you are slaying, like you're slaying your competition tonight. So gotcha. You just go like, slay, Tom, slay. If like you showed up in a really dope outfit.
Al, I have a quick question. Jeff Hoske here.
What's up, brother?
I have a 15-year-old son who likes to use the phrase cap or no cap, and I have no idea what he's talking about. Can you fill me in?
It just means if you're lying or not. So no cap means I'm not lying. And if you say, you look at Chick and you go, you know, I know Chick took my bagel out of the break room. You know, he's saying he didn't, but that's straight cap on that. I know he did.
Straight
cap? So it just means you're lying or not lying.
Yeah. What's
the origin of that?
I have no idea. That's why I was asking.
Like capital crime?
The origin of cap. I don't know.
So my buddy who's in hip hop, he explained it to me one time, and he says cap is kind of like a bald guy wearing a hat to cover the fact that he's bald.
Oh, like Tom.
And that's sort of like a lie.
Uh-huh.
So if you're showing off your hair, no cap, you're being honest.
That's cool.
Oh,
okay.
I don't know if that's the origin or it's a little trick he uses to fill the white guys in like me about how to use them. But that's what he...
There's a secret society behind our back.
That would make sense. Coming full circle, I did find a recipe for a funky cold Medina.
What is it?
It is vodka, Southern Comfort, blue... Carico and cranberry juice.
But did that exist before the Tone Loc song, or did they make it up after?
They made it up after.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought there was cough syrup in there somewhere, but apparently not. So.
That's scissor.
Scissor.
Yeah, okay. that's lean, as it's called now.
Oh, here we go. A little bit of funky cold Medina.
you should hear this in my my car, Al. I've got great bass response. It's amazing.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Hey, I'm Chris VanVleet. Go behind the scenes and beyond the headlines with the biggest names in pro wrestling and beyond.
Mr. Sandman.
All I ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So I got to live my life and make people really happy.
The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Do you think there's anybody better than you were?
I think I was great at what I did. And I think other people were great at what they did as well. Greatness is more a mindset, I think, than anything else.
Mindset, motivation, insight with Chris VanVleet. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.